this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This morning I'm wanting us to talk a little bit about being childlike. It's different to being childish. Childish speaks about emotional immaturity. Childish speaks about being tied up in a whole bunch of inconsequential matters that don't matter. Throwing tantrums at inappropriate times, not that there's ever an appropriate time for a tantrum. But childish is being emotionally immature. But then there's this image that Christ holds before us that as grown-ups we should be, in a sense, childlike, like children. Not in an immature sense, but in a sense of purity of heart and innocence. In John 1, I'm going to read the whole passage just because it's such a beautifully written introduction to the book of John, which says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, that's Jesus, was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And there was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to be a witness of that light. And that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Speaking of Jesus, he came to his own, and his own, that's you and me, did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There's so much that we can take out of those first few verses in John chapter 1. I love that passage. It has so much depth to it, so much strength, so much power in that, in the who the Christ is, that he came to dwell among us, that he came to give us life, that he came to be the light, which is the life of men. But then towards the end there, but for those of us who have received him, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, inherently, and it's so important that we always understand this, at our core, every one of us, we're always children. See, whether we're newborns like Neo and Musa, who are just a couple of weeks old, if that, whether we're 99 or 120 years old, if we're believers, we're children. We are children of a Father in heaven, children of the Most High God. But we will never graduate from being His children. I'm so thankful for that, because being a child is something that, I don't know about you, I look at my kids and sometimes I wish I could go back there. Sometimes I wish I could just be a kid again for a couple of days. And the great thing about that is we are. And a part of that is what Jesus was trying to illustrate when he called that kid in the midst of the apostles and he said, become like this kid again. There are certain things that we, wat ons verleer, soos die lewe aangaan. There are certain gifts that God gives us that we lose as time goes on. That little children have, and that we hope 40 and 50 and 60 and 90 year olds will have, but we often don't. Went to play some golf on Friday morning and took my two kids along, and it was a disaster, but that's a story for another day. And there were a couple of men, two men playing behind us. And it was one of those moments where everything just goes wrong at the same time. I'm about to tee off. We've just teed off and we need to walk down the fairway. And these guys are coming behind us. And now my kids are upset. The one needs the bathroom. We're hundreds of meters away from the nearest bathroom on the golf course. They need the bathroom. They're upset. The one gets thirsty. The phone rings and I have to answer it because it's a funeral that I have to do this weekend, in this week. And sort of we need to arrange. All of this happens when the guys behind us get on the tee box. And this old woman wants to just, I can see, he is so frustrated because why are the kids on the golf? This is just wrong. He wants to play his golf now and someone's come and is spoiling his morning, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I just said a little bit louder, something to do with the funeral, and I could hear he kind of just relaxed just a little bit for a moment and gave me this bit of space to finish the conversation. And then Christy went and played with me. That's what we do. We don't work at the office. We just pray and read Bible and then play golf. And that was just a joke. You can come and visit us in the week if you don't have time. If you don't have anything to do, we'll find something for you to do, I promise. And took the day off on Friday morning and went and played. And as Christy said, so right, if you can't relax on the golf course, where are you going to relax in life? And here's this old woman, so worked up, so bitter, so frustrated because there's a kid on the golf course and he's going to have to wait 10 seconds for the kid to get out of his way before he can hit his golf shot. And he eventually hit his golf shot, and it wasn't the best golf shot I've ever seen anyway. But now I just realized, you know, sometimes we go through life and I wish I had the guts to just sit that woman down and say, don't you just want to, for a few moments, want to become like these little girls running around on the golf course again? Just for a few moments, learn to relax and enjoy the life that God has given us. You see, in essence, we're all children. And when we embrace that, I believe we embrace so much of what God has for us. It's telling for me that in Jesus' prayer, when he taught us to pray, how did he pray? He starts, "Our Father." In other words, God, when we come to you primarily as children. Firstly, as children. There are a couple of things this morning. Obviously, there are many things we could list, but just a couple I want to just mention for us. Perhaps for us to think on in the week, to pray about, and to ask God to restore these maybe to our life, to build them, to enshrine them, to really make them a cornerstone of our lives, something that kids have that I believe that all of us should have. The first one I've already alluded to, we see in Zechariah 8, "Thus says the Lord of hosts," beautiful promise that he gives, and it's fascinating for me when we pray with other church leaders across the city, and it's one of the things I love about the city, that we can do this. We meet regularly with leaders of other churches, and we talk together, and we pray for the city, and it's amazing how often this verse comes up as God gives it just to different people in different contexts relating to this city. "Old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of his great age." And then verse 5, "The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets." See, one of the things that boys and girls just do naturally is they play. I wonder in your life, when was the last time you played? Not necessarily took out a game and played a formal game like that woman that played golf yesterday. He wasn't playing golf. He was doing something else, but playing isn't the right word to describe where he was at. I wonder in our lives how often we play. How often as children we step just into the joy of just enjoying the life that God has given us. Just finding something and playing with each other, playing games. I love that about kids. You go to the kiddies church around the corner there with a lion. Those kids, they're going to find a way to be playing. You really want to upset kids, tell them they're not allowed playing. They've got to sit still in a corner. Yes, children need to learn that discipline. Yes, that's part of life, part of growing from childishness into adulthood. But we should never in that learn the ability and lose the ability and the capacity to play. Let them to come spill, to enjoy life, the life that God has given us. John 10:10, one of my favorite verses, "God has come that we may have life and have it in abundance." To me, that speaks about an enjoyment, amongst other things. But there's a life that God's called you and me to enjoy, not to go through bitter and stuck up and upset with everything that's wrong, but to find something that we can enjoy, to celebrate. Yeah, I love that about my kids. We'll have something and it breaks. Some toy that they love, and you know, they'll be upset about it, and 2 days later they'll find a Barbie leg, and that'll be a new toy. And they'll play with it because that's the only toy to play with. I love that about my smallest one. She's just turned one, and she'll find a toy. And you'll take the toy away and they'll be really upset. And she'll throw a tantrum. I know tantrums, you're not meant to give affirmation when a kid tantrums at all. So this is really hard for us because they're the cutest little tantrums. She goes and she lies down all gently and she looks around, makes sure she's not going to bump her head. Like in slow-mo, lie down. And then it comes. Bwah! The older ones would fall to the ground and grow crazy. The younger ones learn from our older ones. It's bad for the back of your head to do that. So she'll lie down very gently, assume the position, and then the tantrum comes. And you see the tantrum coming and you sort of want to look because it's just so cute and you're not meant to. But you'll take the toy away, something, a glass or whatever, she's not meant to play with. She'll be really upset about it. But then find anything else. A key in your pocket, whatever. A pen that's lying, and give it to her. Suddenly it's a new toy and she's happy again and she'll play with that. And I wonder in life when our toys get taken away and we get all upset, do we harp on the toy that we lost? Or do we just find the next thing and find a way to enjoy the life that God has given us? I want to encourage us, let's be playful. Kids, play. Play in the streets. Let's go through life with playful hearts, looking for opportunities to play, to have fun. You know the other thing kids do that's involved in playing is kids are brilliant at role play. My daughters are hardly ever my daughters. When I go home from work, they're either Tinkerbell or they're Barbie or they're a lion that's crawling around the house roaring, or they're Elsa and Anna or whatever it is. They're everything except my daughters. Kids have this phenomenal ability to step into the circumstances of somebody else, to assume the character, to assume the life realities of, even though they don't understand the depth of it, of somebody else. And I would encourage us, that's something that we should learn to grow into, the ability to role play, the ability to step into Josh as he stands up here and shares the pain that he went through, to step into that pain and to share in that pain with him, to step into the joy of the parents that come and bring their kids before the Lord. I remember a couple of years ago, it was sort of one of the worst days for me emotionally that I've ever gone through in my life. And I pray that I don't have another one like that. Some of you would remember Yuri's nephew, Joel, drowned in a swimming pool. I think it was just over 2 years old. And just crazy story. For a couple of weeks, we were praying and it was touch and go. And eventually the kid didn't make it. And went to the funeral in the morning. If I'm not mistaken, Dirk and Umit, it was your wedding that afternoon. And just that emotional trauma of stepping into the hurt and the pain with the mother and the family of the two-year-old kid that's just been lost, driving away from there and driving to a wedding and stepping into this incredible gift of joy and life. But kids have a capacity to do that. Kids have the capacity to step into emotions with friends, or they're playing games or whatever, to be very upset and then to be very joyful. To role play, to assume the circumstances of somebody else and to, in a sense, experience where others are at. Another thing that kids are, I spoke about this at Lent a couple of weeks ago, I'm just going to touch on it now. They're uncomplicated. 2 Corinthians says it to us so beautifully. He says, I fear lest somehow, even in the same way that the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. I love that about children. Children are so uncomplicated. See, when my daughter says to me, and I really hope for my daughter's wives, my daughter's wife, please never, no. My daughter's husband's sake, that this is something that they don't lose. But when they say something, that's exactly what they want. They're uncomplicated. When they're hungry, Papa ex homer. When they're thirsty, sapi. Yeah, from where? As a belief, can you can sapi cry. When they want to watch a story, they say the story that they want to watch. When they want to do something, they're just so uncomplicated. When I've told them something, if I said to them, like I perhaps did, I said yesterday afternoon, when we get home from church, we can swim this afternoon. the chances are we're going to get in the car and they're going to say, Daddy, you said we can swim today. So uncomplicated, so simple. There's an uncomplicatedness that we should carry in our lives. Specifically in our relationship with Christ, what I spoke about a couple of weeks ago was how easy it is and how quickly we complicate our walk with Christ. How we go to a conference or we read a book and the conference might be good and the book might really be good, but somehow it sort of climbs on our shoulders. There's another thing we must do, another maze that we must navigate as we approach Christ. Sometimes we just need to deliberately step away from all of that and just step and to our relationship with Christ. Just follow Christ in simplicity. I love this passage, the simplicity that is, it is so simple to follow Jesus. It's hard at times because it goes against the grain of all of our carnality and all of our sinfulness. And often God tells us not to do things that we really want to. Often he tells us to do things that we really don't want to. Sometimes following Christ is incredibly hard, but it's never complicated. It's never confusing as such. It's never a moment of, what does Jesus really, what does it mean to follow Jesus? It means to bring your heart before him. As simple as that. Follow him in simplicity of heart and purity of heart. But there's a simplicity in Christ. Don't ever let anyone complicate your relationship with Jesus. It's a personal relationship and it's incredibly simple. Yes, there's much in Scripture we can grow in to understand, but that should never complicate our relationship with Christ. As a matter of fact, Jesus insinuated in one sense, and I kind of want to hold this before us. You know, many of the doctrines and many of the biblical truths that we hold on to, for me, there's a great filter that I throw all of them through. Not only in the way in which we try and communicate them, but in their importance. And it's simple. Can I explain this to a 3 or 4 year old? If a 3 or 4 year old can't understand this, then it's probably not so important to the heart of the gospel. It might be a good life lesson. It might be a good leadership skill. But in terms of the heart of the gospel, it's probably not so important. That every important doctrine, everything that's important, you don't need a PhD in theology to be able to love and follow Jesus. On the contrary, Jesus gave his disciples, this is the example. Just come like this kid. Come in simplicity of a heart. One of the things that I love about kids, you say it to them and they receive it exactly the way you said it to them. A couple of months ago, my daughter was really upset because we were at home and I said to my wife, I'm just going to walk a turn quickly, which doesn't make sense at all in English. Ek gaan gou 'n draai loop. And my daughter was so upset. She said, can she come with? And I said, no, she can't come with. And she was so upset because dad's going for a walk and I can't go with him. But there's just such a, you say it to them and they receive it as simply as it was said. I wonder how our relationship with Christ would look if we just simply received what he told us. Just based on what he's told us, without trying to look for some hidden nuance in it, trying to complicate it to make it easier for us to accommodate. Just receive it as he said it. Being uncomplicated. Tying into that as well. I love this about kids, and this is what I long for being a kid probably more than anything else. Kids are unworried. Listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. Once again, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. I'm not going to spend too much time on that. But I wonder how much we get tied up with the worries of this world. My daughters, I don't think have ever been worried about tomorrow in their lives. And long may that continue. I'm not saying don't plan for it. I'm not saying don't prepare for it. Sometimes they'll put their clothes out and they say, tomorrow when we go to school, I want to wear this. It's good to prepare. It's good to think ahead. But there's no worry in their heart about tomorrow. There's not concern about their heart. In their hearts about tomorrow. Matthew 6 says it so beautifully. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. I don't have to teach this to my kids. On the contrary, I think sometimes we err on the other side and we teach our kids exactly the opposite because You don't get born with this in a sense. I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added to you. I love that about kids. They don't worry about tomorrow. If we're going on holiday, if we're going away for the weekend, if we're going away for the day, they really don't worry whether we've packed in food for them, whether we've packed something for them to drink, whether we've got their bottles, when we've got their clothes. They don't worry about that. Perhaps they've got a specific thing they want to take along and they'll pack that as well. But when we get to the other side and they get hungry or thirsty or cold, they'll just come running to me or my wife and say, I'd like a jersey, I'm cold, or I'd like something to eat. They didn't worry about it. They just knew that we'd taken care of it. They knew that mommy and daddy will make sure I'm okay. Isn't that exactly what this passage is saying to us? Your Father in heaven knows of these things way before you've even thought of it. You see, maybe we're packing, maybe we're going to sleep overnight somewhere. We get in the car maybe early in the morning, maybe perhaps it's a nice summer's day like today, or meant to be spring day like today. I think spring was on a Tuesday this year. You get in the car and they're wearing shorts. They didn't think that maybe tonight it's going to be really cold. They didn't realize that they're going to have to take a jersey along and a pillow to sleep. Or they didn't think about any of that stuff. And you know that was okay for them. I'm not saying don't plan. I'm not saying don't think ahead. I'm not saying specifically around our finances, don't be good stewards. That's not at all what I'm saying. But there's a worry that we pick up and we carry in our lives. But I believe God would often have us to step away from and become more like kids. God, I actually trust you. God, you will take. God, I'm just going to listen and obey the instructions that you hold before me and know that you're going to make it work out. Then the last point that I want us to think on this morning about kiddies. A while ago, I was thinking about a conversation I needed to have with another dad, and I wanted to say to him, you know, as a dad, the great thing about being a dad is you really have to be a really, really bad dad to not be your kid's hero. And sadly, there are many kids who grow up without having mom and their dad as their heroes, but in a semi-ordinary, semi-normal home, mom and dad is by default the hero. Kids believe in their father. I love that about my kids. Sometimes I hate it because, you know, something will happen and the toy will break, smash, shattered all over. And then you hear them speak, don't worry, dad will fix it. It's not, dad can fix anything, don't worry about it. Don't worry, mom will fix it. Mom will make it right. Yesterday, we were watching the rugby, the Springboks, with my four-year-old. She was sitting on my lap a little bit. And I love, she watched a bit of rugby, so she gets, and there really isn't an Afrikaans, an English word for oomies, is there? Because it's not like the green uncles aren't trying to tackle the blue uncles. That just doesn't work. So the blue oomies are trying to stop the green oomies, and the green oomies are trying to stop the blue oomies. She gets that. And she gets that the blue oomies want to carry the ball over that line and the green oomies want to carry the ball over this line. So we're watching this game, and after a little bit she looks and says, Daddy, do you know, Papa Vietje, if we were on the field, we'd beat all of those oomies. Papa, as ek en jy gespeel het, Ons sou die hele tyd die bal oor die lyn gekry het. I love it. As I heard that, something inside of my heart just resonated. And God, I want to have that in every situation with you. That daddy, if you or I were in that moment, then none of those guys would be able to catch us. And I love her. She says, if one of those big women tries to fall on me, I'll just run and he'll never catch me. And that's something that I'm wanting us to think just a little bit of. We become like children in our relationship with our Father. Or is there somewhere along the road where, oh no, we have to grow up and we lose. You see, growing up shouldn't be about losing the childlikeness. Growing up should be losing the childishness. The emotional immaturity, the inability to discern between what's important and what's not important. But we should never lose the childlikeness in our heart. One of the things at its core that children have is that they've got a belief in their Father. Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Children by nature have this unwavering faith that their parents can do anything. I say just now, if I say something to my kid, to any of them, I've learned it's going to come back to bite me. Because they just have inside of their heart this unwavering belief that if I have said something to them, it's going to happen. If I have said we are going to have an ice cream this afternoon, it's settled in their hearts, we're going to have an ice cream this afternoon. If I have said, if I've made a commitment, if I've promised them something, it's going to happen. And I wonder how often in our relationship with Christ, we lose that dynamic just a touch. God says, and that unwavering faith that little kids have, we lose it. No, I'm a realist. Well, how about being a faithist, if that's even a word? Yes, we're real about the circumstances we face, but how about we're real about the power of the God we serve? That He is alive, that He is risen from the grave, that He is no longer dead, and that yes, that He has said He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness amongst everything else. He says that He will freely give, He has given us His Son, will He not freely give us everything else? And yet we doubt and we question and we lose our childlikeness in our response to God. And then as we prayed with these little kids, because how do you become a child? Well, you get born. How do you become a child of God? You get born in exactly the same way. But for all of us, this discussion in John chapter 3 is so important, and one we should never lose the value of. Where there was a man named Nicodemus, an adult man, a Jewish religious leader, so he was probably quite an elderly man. And he was a Pharisee, and after dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. He said, Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. See how he loses his ability to engage with his imagination. He gets intellectual and unchildlike. If you say that to a kid, they're going to give you a clever answer back. And this man says, what do you mean, dude? Can an old man go back in his mother's womb and be born again? Maybe he was childlike, because that's the type of answer my daughter would give. How do I get back into my mother's born again? How do I get back into my mom's womb? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. See, Jesus says we must become like children. And the becoming like children starts by becoming a children of God. You remember John chapter 1? Who gets to be children of God? Not everyone. Everyone who receives Him. There's an important prior. There's an important prerequisite. There's an important I'm receiving moment that happens. And perhaps you're here this morning and you've never had that moment in your life where you've said, Father, I want to receive you. Maybe you've grown up in church, you've been in church your whole life, or studied the Bible, haven't studied the Bible. As valuable as all of those things are, the important thing here is simply is, have you embraced becoming a child of the living God? See, that's where it starts. Jesus says that to Nicodemus. He says, Nicodemus, you're a ruler. You know the scriptures really well, but you're missing one thing. Your spirit needs to be born again. You need to have that moment of the rebirth where it's like a whole new life that starts and you become a child again in the eyes of God. And perhaps if that's you this morning, we would so, so love to pray with you. I'm going to ask us all to stand and I'm going to close in prayer. And if you need to go, you're more than welcome to go. There's coffee and tea outside. Hang around, have some coffee and tea. We'd love to get to know you. And also, join us for the celebration down by the swimming pool area. But before you do go, if you need prayer this morning, we would so love to pray with you. So in a few moments, when everyone else leaves, if you need prayer, perhaps to receive the rebirth, perhaps to step into a relationship with Christ, perhaps you know that you've lost your childlikeness and you want someone just to pray with you, just that God would come and restore that in your heart, your ability to play, to be uncomplicated, just to be pure in your to lose the worry. Perhaps you're so tied down by worry. We've lost your ability just to believe in God. Whatever it may be, we would so love to pray with you. And please don't leave if you'd like someone to pray with. We'd ask you to come forward. We'll have some people out in front waiting to pray with you and spend time and trust God that He'll continue the work that He started in your life. So let's bow our heads together. Father, I want to thank you this morning for the privilege of spending time in your courts and in your word. Thank you for those beautiful kids, Lord Jesus, that we could celebrate. Thank you that in a sense we could mourn with Josh and Hanay, knowing of the promise of life that you hold before them, Lord Jesus. And thank you for the outworking of that life in so many of the kids that we got to celebrate this morning. Thank you, God, for the outworking of that life in us. That you say to those of us who have received you, you give us the right to become children of God. Not by nature of our parents, not by nature of anything anyone else did, but simply that we chose to receive your gift of life. I want to pray for every one of us here, Lord. Perhaps there may be someone who has never had that moment, Lord, that every one of us right now would receive that gift of life. And Jesus, that you would stir childlikeness in us again, Lord. That as we go from here, that we would look at the children you place around us, and we would be great examples to them, but we would look to them as examples as well, Lord. Examples of humility, purity of heart, of innocence of mind. The playfulness, Lord, and the uncomplicatedness, Lord. God, I pray that all of us would grow in that again. That we would become like the children that you hold before the disciples, that we may inherit the kingdom of God. I speak your favor and blessing over everyone, that as we go from this place, Lord, that we know your presence doesn't go from us and we don't go from your presence, but your promise is that you go with us, Lord, even to the ends of the earth. So I speak your favor and your blessing over everyone, Lord. May you make your face shine upon us and give us peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent, establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. Yeah.